Welcome to Manage Tools. The purpose of feedback, part one. This cast answers these questions. What is the purpose of feedback? Why should I give more feedback? Why is negative feedback so hard? Well, if you want to answer these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
We are excited to be offering our newest training for organizations, our Effective Executive Team Workshop. This training is for your leadership team. It focuses on the achievement of organizational results while developing future leaders. We do this by engaging with your leadership team to develop a strategy system and create a sustainable competitive advantage, an operations system, create the metrics and cadences for the delivery of operational results in support of the strategy, and the people system, results, talent development, succession, and performance management. This engagement can be delivered either standalone or can include an additional 5 months of coaching to support your team's implementations of the plans made during the initial workshop itself. Mark Horstman, co-founder and creator of the Manager Tools Guidance, will be delivering this training. For more information, contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com.
Okay, Mark, you got to explain why we're doing this, because people are now expecting Kate and Sarah. And right. Then we'll get into like this whole feedback thing.
Yeah. So Kate, who, by the way, for many of you know, but in case you don't, is my daughter, one of our managing partners, is presently in a hospital undergoing inducement for labor to give birth to her first child. She will be on at least 3 months and maybe more, depending upon the situation, maternity leave after that. Sarah is therefore the single managing partner in terms of being actually at the office. And Mike and I suggested to her in a recent meeting of the three of us that we could take over recording Manager Tools for a little while. And she said, yeah, that's no problem. And I think a good number of you are used to our voices. If you don't know, if you haven't heard Mike and I's voices before, we've recorded, I think, roughly the first 18 years of content.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And a couple of years ago, Kate and Sarah took over, but right now Kate's not available. And so Mike and I are pitching in. If you know our voices, it may be because you've listened and heard us on Executive Tools as well. And a special note, we are not only recording this using Audio Hijack, and thanks to Paul Vigiani, our great audio engineer, it comes out making us sound way better than we actually do, but we're also recording the Zoom call we're on, which is normally how we conduct podcast recordings, but we're recording the video and it will be posted to YouTube because, as we just announced to all of our licensees, all of our podcasts are now available not only on YouTube, but also on Spotify. So it makes it easier for those of you who get your podcasts on Spotify or on YouTube, you can get Manager Tools.
So, okay. So I'm excited about this cast because we've talked about feedback and the purpose of feedback several times scattered through 20 years of talking about feedback.
Yes.
I think this is the first time we've ever kind of pulled it all together, made it its own topic. And so some of this, to some of you who've been listening for 20 years, will sound familiar.
They've probably intuited it, even though we've never said it quite this way.
Quite right. Exactly. So one of the things is, although feedback is incredibly effective, one thing we found is that people have some trepidation. They're scared of what might be happen when they get feedback? Well, if you got to learn something difficult or you have to do something difficult, it helps a lot if you know the why. Like, what's the purpose of, why are we doing this? And if you know right. The purpose and you have that in your head, the giving of the feedback will be 10 yeah. times easier if you kind of understand the purpose of it. So I'm excited about it for those reasons.
Yeah, I think Nietzsche said that he who has a why can bear almost any how. I will say, relative to your comment about fear, I think a lot of managers do come by the fear of giving feedback legitimately. In that sense, most managers know that they're supposed to give feedback. Unfortunately, they don't get taught how to give feedback. They don't understand the why, as you mentioned. But probably their only model is other bosses, which means, historically, not very much feedback. Two different models, one for positive, one for negative. But when they try to give feedback, they get pushback. And well, obviously with negative feedback. When they try to give negative feedback, they get pushback and they say, well, this doesn't work. I'm not doing this. To heck with this. You know, it ticked them off and I don't like it and so on.
Well, they also get pushback for positive feedback because using this model, because when they ask the individual whether or not they'd like some feedback, they assume it's going to be bad, right? And this is going to be a bad conversation, right? So,
yes, exactly. And so their fear of giving feedback is based on numerous attempts at failing to give reasonably effective negative feedback without creating all kinds of drama. Now, another piece of that is you're direct, even if you do a passably good job. For those of you who've learned the Manager Tools effective feedback model and you start giving negative feedback, you might still get some pushback because they're reliving all of the bad experiences with all the bosses they've had before. And it does take a little while to get past that, to build up enough trust for your directs to realize that you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're doing it in a reasonable and effective way. And if you can trust them, we can get over this. But managers who don't understand the why, the purpose of feedback, are always going to struggle to give it. And as Mike said, even though we have probably said many of these things in pieces and parts over the last 20 years, I was astounded when I sat down to write this podcast a week, 10 days ago, that I assumed I had written it, right? It had been 20 years, right? I mean, of course I've written this podcast, and I couldn't find one. And I started writing it, and I stopped, and I said, no, you just missed it. You need to go back and double check, because the worst thing in my life is to write a podcast that we've already put out there. And I checked, and we didn't. And by the way, those of you who don't know who may be listening audio only, we are recording this. It is Friday night at 6 o'clock in California. I'm in my home in Pebble Beach. Mike is in his home in Modesto, where I just was, actually. I was in Mike's home on Wednesday. And if I'm not mistaken, Mike, Thursday was your birthday?
It was.
Happy birthday party.
43.
And the 43.
Yeah,
you look,
right.
Look really bad for 43, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm really sorry. And for those of you who, if you're listening audio, you may not realize that because we're recording visually and because it is Friday and because it is 5 o'clock, which by the way, reminds Mike of many, many years of working hard during the week and then recording on the weekends, which is about the only time we could have the house quiet and be uninterrupted. I am on video right now drinking scotch from an LA Dodgers lowball glass. So there you go. Feel free to check out the YouTube video.
Half of our audience.
Yeah. So the purpose of feedback is super simple. And the more you know about it, the easier it will be to get over the hump of giving feedback. Feedback, the purpose of feedback is simple. It's four words: encourage, effective, future, behavior. And what we're going to do in this cast is take those four words apart and explicate them in probably annoying detail. And Mike mentioned this is the purpose of feedback cast, but I actually think it's going to be a two-parter. And for those of you who are really into our stuff, if you're wondering how we determine one-parters and two-parters and so on, we generally have a rule that about 1,200 words in one of our podcast things is roughly one part. It's probably a short one-parter. 1,500 is closer to a full one-parter, 30 minutes. And I think this cast has close to 3,000 words, so pretty sure it's going to be a two-parter. I would love to have fit it into one part for all those of you who send me nasty mails and say, I wish you'd just slim it all down, which of course reminds me, as I've said before, with the old philosophy final exam question, describe the universe, be specific, and give two examples. Some things just don't compress any more than you can compress them. And I want to mention one more thing before we get to the outline, and that is, did you notice that we said the purpose of feedback, not positive feedback, not negative feedback, just feedback, is simple: encourage effective future behavior. There is only one purpose for feedback. There are not two. And that's because there are not two ways to deliver feedback. There's only one.
Wait a minute.
And that's why we only have one effective feedback model.
Man, that really puts a cramp in my style because, like, it's hard to be encouraging if you're angry, for example.
Oh, but then you invoke Ozan's rule, which is if I can't chuckle when I give feedback, right?
There you go. It's the only way. Folks, if you're like me, every once in a while you get angry and you want to, like, tell somebody what's the deal.
Exactly how you feel.
Yeah, just pause. Just pause a second.
Yeah, just pause.
Come back a little.
Walk away. Yeah. Breathe in, breathe out, move on, as Jimmy Buffett said. Yeah. So our outline is four parts, and we're going to take each of those words and, again, explicate them: encourage, effective, future, and behavior.
All right. So let's get to the part that I think will disappoint some old school people, which is, hey, dude, it's about encouragement. It's not about chewing somebody's rear end. Giving them the what for. It's about encouragement. Now, once you figure that out and you know it's about encouragement, it becomes a lot easier to give both positive and negative feedback.
And if you're wondering how you can be encouraging when you give negative feedback, just remember the third word in the model is future. And that should tell you all you need to know about how you can be encouraging if you're talking about future behavior. So again, there are not two models for feedback. The purpose of all feedback, positive or negative, is to encourage effective future behavior. And in fact, those of you who have been listening a long time, you know this, and we used to have it in all of our slides when we present our effective manager conferences. And by the way, if you want to come to an effective manager conference, you can either have your company bring us in and train 20, 30 managers at a time, or you can come to one of our 40 or 50 public EMCs all across the US and overseas as well. It's just the start of 2025 now. So come to the website, check our calendar and take a look and see when we're close to you and come and get trained by us. We're actually pretty good at it. If you pay close attention to the history of our guidance, you'll discover that the purposes for all four parts of the Manager Tools Trinity start with the word encourage.
Yeah. Why now, is that?
Yeah. Why is that? It's a totally fair question. Because that's one of the primary responsibilities of managers, to encourage their directs to do their best. So many managers think their job is to find fault or to point out errors. If your job is to find errors, if you believe that's your job, to find mistakes, you will begin to see only mistakes. That's part of why the phrase, that which you are searching for in the universe is searching for you. If what you look for is fault, you'll find it. And people will do good things right in front of you, and you'll not see it. I think years ago, I know we put it in Things We Think We Think, that's a licensee email that goes out every week, the video of the guys, there are some people dressed in white and people dressed in black, and they're passing a basketball around. And they ask you at the end of the video, or they ask you at the start, how many passes does the team in white make? And so you're busy watching these guys pass this basketball, and they're all moving around relative to one another, so on. And the team in black is also moving around, so on, passing a basketball. And at the end, almost everybody gets it right. They're super stoked, and they say 15, right? And they're right. And then the question really happens, which is, but did you see the dancing bear? And when they've rewind it and show you again, here comes this dancing bear walking through the middle of all these guys passing these basketballs around. Exactly. And there's no way you would have missed it. There's no possible way unless you're only looking for the basketball.
Right. So those of you looking for the dancing bear, you don't see the dancing bear. You see Sarah dancing in the background.
Oh, that's right.
That's
part of it. Sarah, who she and I just recently got married, she just took a video with her phone, and I think she's going to post it in social media saying, Hey, look, the two founding partners are recording a Manager Tools cast, and they're recording it on YouTube. Yeah. So look, your job, and everybody, if you argue with them for a minute, they figure it out. Of course, my job is to encourage people. Encourage is literally means to give courage to other people to do their best. And surely you understand that your organization would never say, no, we don't want you to encourage people. Of course, they want you to encourage people. But here's the thing about that. The organization would say, yes, the organization wants to encourage. But your organization can try to encourage everyone, but it doesn't do much good at all. Organizations really can't encourage everyone. Everyone is different, but the organization is only one. Different roles, different backgrounds, different needs, different communication styles, the whole thing. Thank God for diversity. Now, you might say, well, actually, Mark and Mike, I can think of a pretty good way for them to encourage everyone. Why don't we just increase everybody's pay? And the fact is, your organization could do that, but it wouldn't work. They might say, well, I don't know. They should try it on me and see.
Oh, how many of you have gotten a raise and then 5 years later are still happy because of that raise? It's like,
yeah, great point.
You just got to keep doing it.
It wears off, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Of course, their response will be, yes, they should continue to give me more raises. And as soon as I run out of encouragement and joy from the first one, I should get another.
If money were just an unending resource, that'd be great.
Yeah. But look, your organization is constrained by the marketplace, right? And its need for profit to fund future investment and growth and future pay raises. So you can't pay everybody to the point where you're no longer profitable. And actually, you know, we talk about this off and on. We've talked about it off and on over the years. Modern organizations have known for a long time that compensation is only what is known as a hygiene factor. Yes, it's necessary. You have to keep the office clean. You can't have people stepping over their own trash. There have to be bathrooms. You know, you can't have a terrible office environment that smells and is dirty and so on. But you can only make the office so clean. And you can only pay somebody so much. And at some point, the amount of pay you give them doesn't necessarily increase their happiness. Or more importantly, since the organization says they care about your happiness, but they really don't, what they care about is productivity. What they want is for you to be happy because you're feeling productive. They just don't say that because they want their people to hear them talking about their happiness. And there's a limit to how much greater pay does for productivity. And productivity is the performance engine of all companies. And as you and I and everybody else knows, there are plenty of highly paid professionals who don't perform very well. Now, you might say, I want that job. But the fact is, the proof is in the pudding. High pay doesn't always guarantee high performance. Otherwise, all executives would be high performers all the time. And yet, they seem to get fired at a much higher rate than other people. Further, your organization is structured, in fact, all reasonable organizations, which is to say all sustainable ones are, is structured so that you, Mr. or Ms. Manager, speak for the organization to your directs. You are the organization to your directs. You may not understand that, but organizational theory 101 teaches that. In fact, Mike, I've been thinking lately, we need a whole nother new cast called Org Tools, where we just teach people all about the fundamental principles of how human organizations work.
There you go. I've been saying for a long time, we just need to chain you to a desk.
Yes.
There should probably be like 10 separate podcasts.
Yes. Near a golf course, my friend. Yes. Near a golf course.
I wish you'd work a little harder. Yeah. We'd be so much better.
So the organization allows you to speak for it. That's the core of your role power. Role power isn't the ability to punish, because in fact, you really don't have a great deal of ability to punish. You have to get that approved and so on. Because your org knows it can't reach everybody, it relies on you to reach not all, not everybody, but each of your people. Your job as a manager is to be your organization's encourager of each of your directs. That's one part of your job. Now, let's go back and go into a little bit more detail about the idea there's only one model for feedback, whether it's positive or negative. Look, obviously, this makes it simpler for both the manager and direct, right? And certainly for beginning managers. Although, if you did it long enough, and many of you in our community, those of you who have been with us for 10, 15, 20 years, you could probably say, hey, Mark, hey, Mike, if you've got a new model, the next level model, you know, lay it on me. I'd be happy to see something better. We've tested a lot of them. We haven't found anything better than the incredibly simple manager tools feedback model. You might think, oh, it's easier. So that's the reason why we choose only one model and you use it whether you're delivering positive feedback or negative feedback. But that's not the reason that there's only one model. The reason, again, is because the purpose of both positive and negative feedback is the same, to encourage. That's the verb, right? Encourage effective future behavior. There's a verb in there, and the first word is the verb, encourage. Now, some of you, if you're new, you're going to hear this and you're going to say, that's not true. I've never seen that before. Well, unfortunately, you've only worked for bad bosses. But the fact is, the tone of all feedback is positive, or at least supposed to be positive. Actually, I could say the tone of all feedback is positive, and I simply choose to say, all that crap you've been given by all those bad bosses you had before, that wasn't feedback. It was your boss venting and being a jerk. Okay? Yeah, the tone of all feedback is positive, regardless of whether you're asking for more good work, which is what you do in positive feedback, or a change in whatever work that was just done. Why is that? Because you're encouraging your direct. You encourage them with positive feedback by asking for more of the same. They feel good about what they did. They know that you noticed. They know that you heard or saw or read or evaluated. And so they want to do more of the same for you. You can also encourage them with negative feedback. You encourage them to motivate themselves to do better or differently next time.
Yeah, people's brains exploded when you said you can encourage them with negative feedback, right?
Sure you can.
That's the experience. That's their experience.
Yes, if you trust your boss, right? If I work for somebody I trust and he says, hey, look, I'm not going to use the feedback model here. I'll just describe it generally. But hey, you did this thing. It wasn't very good. Could you do it better next time? You know, I believe in you. Could you do that better next time? That feels pretty encouraging to the vast majority of professionals who've been treated, like I said earlier, like crap by their previous bosses.
By the way, folks, if you haven't looked at the feedback model before, we're only talking about the purpose of feedback. We're not going through the entire model. But if you think what Mark just said, that example of feedback, wasn't feedback, that's way too short to be feedback.
No,
you would be wrong.
It's a good point.
You would be wrong. That, in fact, was feedback. That's it.
Yeah.
That's no harder than that.
Yeah, it takes 10 seconds. And just, Mike, you bring up a good point. There are people, tens of thousands of people, maybe 100,000 listening right now, who don't realize that that was, in a manner of speaking, our feedback model. So if you don't know it, here's the Manager Tools feedback model. First, you say, hey, can I give you some feedback? Or, hey, do you have a moment? I want to share something with you. Something like that. You ask first. I'm not going to explicate every part of it, but that's step one. You always ask first.
And they can say no.
And they can say no.
Don't need to go down that path, but yeah, they can say no.
Yes. They can say no. Never ask a question of your directs if you don't intend to honor the answer. So if we're asking, it means they can say no and we'll walk away, but trust me, they'll be back. But anyway, step two is, when you did that thing you did, whatever it was, showed up early, stayed late, met a deliverable deadline, didn't meet a deliverable deadline, spent some extra time with a new guy showing him where things are, whatever the case might be, the behavior the person engaged in, when you did that behavior, that's step two. Step three is, here's what happens, the outcome. You know, when you're early, it makes my reporting easier to the boss. When you're late, I have to come find you, and that takes time and slows me down. When you're ahead of schedule, I can think about the impact and whether or not we can speed up the project. When you're behind schedule, I worry it will have downstream effects that'll make us miss our ultimate deadline. When you're late in the morning, I worry about you being on the side of the road. When you're early, it means to me you're excited about work and that excites me, so thank you, right? And in step four, you either say thank you or well done, keep it up, or you say, can you work on that? Can you do that better? Can you do that differently? That's all. Now you'll notice there's no negativity when we give negative feedback. And we're going to talk about the beauty of the justification for that when we start talking about the difference between the future and the past. The vast majority of managers think that feedback is by definition about past behavior. It is not. Past behavior is the incitement or the beginning of the feedback. It's what causes feedback to happen, good behavior or bad behavior, but it is not the purpose. The purpose of feedback is about the future, because let's face it, guys, as we'll say again many times in the next hour, you can't change the past, so you ought not to be spending too much time talking about it. Now, look, if you're new to Manager Tools, you might be thinking, wait, this is not experience. What you're describing isn't what I've experienced. My bosses have been directly negative when I've made a mistake. I feel fear when they talk to me about a mistake. And frankly, I think I've figured out they intend for me to feel fear. And by the way, Mark and Mike, they don't often give me positive feedback either. And we're not arguing with you. You're right. And we're sad about that. And that's why all of our podcasts, except Executive Tools, are free. Because the epidemic of bad management is should I say, not an epidemic, but a pandemic? Oh, that strikes close to home. Yeah, it's horrible. We wish we could say that all managers understand the principles behind feedback that we're talking about here now, but very few do outside of the manager tools community. But again, why is the purpose of feedback at its heart encouraging? You know, let's not forget something that your organization you're in. I said this many times in our podcast over the years. You know, companies and academia and the government and so on, not-for-profit and so on, they're called organizations. They're not called mechanizations. They're not machines. They're organizations because they're made up of organisms, human beings, okay? And the humanity that is involved in a 2 or a 20 or a 200 or a 2,000 or a 200,000 human organization cannot be denied. Without the humans, your organization would cease to exist. Everybody's always talking about systems and processes and everything else, and we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, in this cast. But right now, I can tell you, it ain't systems or processes that make things go. It's people. And there's too little appreciation of the humanity involved in organizations and why they exist. Organizations exist to serve society, not to make a profit. But the fact is, the normal person day to day in the busy lives we lead needs encouragement and regularly needs encouragement. Now, some of you more direct, more forceful managers, both of which Mike and I would completely have to cop to, that we were pretty direct. Those of you who've been listening for a long time know that one of my alter egos on these podcasts is called Dark Mark, because I skewer ideas that I find offensive and stupid and regretful. Some of you managers who are more direct, more forceful, probably would wish that the need for encouragement didn't exist. But deep down, you know, it is there. Managers have an opportunity, if not a duty. We believe it's a duty. You may only think it's an opportunity to encourage people. The organization can't encourage. Oh, it can put out websites and it can say, go check out this webpage with our new benefits thing, or they can talk about what a great culture the organization is. But that's not encouraging. That's marketing. And if the organization can't do it, if you're a manager, it leaves it to you. Try to find an interview candidate who will say, I neither want nor need any encouragement from you, my boss.
Yeah. An honest one. An honest candidate.
Yeah, exactly. No sane candidate wants that. We all want encouragement from our spouses, from our friends, and certainly from our bosses. And by the way, we'll talk about positive and negative feedback more in a bit. Imagine how willing you would be to take more negative feedback from a boss who gave you the right amount of positive feedback. Imagine an encouraging boss. You'd be like, sure, if I knew my boss was going to be encouraging to me, believed in me, wanted me to do well, told me she wanted me to do well and was excited about me doing well, I'd be willing to hear more negative feedback from her more often. Sure, I would. That's another good reason why the purpose of feedback includes encouragement, because it creates stronger relationships, and stronger relationships improve trust. Trust improves results, and it also improves retention. And results and retention are the two key deliverables of every manager in the world, big or small company, industry, irrelevant.
Yeah. And look, if you have somebody in your organization who tells you they don't need nor want positive encouragement, just try a little experiment. Just say okay. And then go later on the day and give them some positive feedback, give them some encouragement and see what happens. Their face will light up.
Yeah.
It's like the sun came out.
Yeah. Most people won't say, I don't want you to encourage me. What they'll say is, I don't need any positive feedback. I only want to know what I'm doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what they say. I just tell me what I'm doing wrong. I want to fix it. I want to fix myself. I want to get 1% better every day kind of thing. Right? And then you give them some encouragement and they are happy as clams. Wow. In fact, in the beginning, there'll be a few of your people saying, why are you doing that? They are literally so beaten down that when you give them positive feedback, they say, why are you telling me that? Why? Because I thought you did a good job. And I thought, you know, if I had just done that, I'd want to hear about it. No, but why? I just told you why, because I saw you do something good, and I thought if I had done that thing, I'd want to hear it. I know, but what's your hidden reason? I don't have any hidden reason. I just thought it'd be nice.
That's the state management today.
They'll fight you.
Yeah, it's sad. It's really sad.
Yeah, you know, and interestingly, this is one of the reasons why we've been saying for two decades now, it's 2025, Mandatory Chills started, our first podcast came out in June of 2005, so it's been 20 years now. In fact, Mike, as an aside, it was right around this time in January of 2005 that we recorded ourselves together talking about management for the first time.
That's right.
Remember? At your house.
Right. The podcast that will never be exposed.
Never be released. Yes. No. Yeah. We plugged in a USB microphone into the side of Mike's laptop and we talked into it for like 10, 15 minutes. And at the end of it, we're like, oh yeah, we could do this.
Yeah, this works.
We'd known each other for, I mean, we'd known each other for 20 years by then. 20
years at that point.
Right. Yeah. So one of the reasons we've been saying for two decades now that we may not be able to guarantee you'll become a great manager with our guidance, this is one of the reasons, but we can make you a darn good one, because the average manager has no idea what they're doing. Being a good manager isn't all that hard when the average manager never gets any training or, for that matter, encouragement. I think we've proven that now at all. They don't get that stuff. So all you have to do to be a good manager is not suck. Because the average manager, let's face it, sucks. That's why there's a Dilbert cartoon, because of the pointy-haired boss.
Yeah, we're all about setting high standards here. Don't suck.
Yeah, exactly. Every boss in every comedic episode is always an idiot and officious and mean and so on. But you don't have to be that way. And that's certainly not the way you're going to get to the top if you want to get to the top.
We know it's cold, but we love Canada. So we'll be in Ottawa February 4th and 5th for an EMC and ECC. Come to our conferences, get trained on how to manage teams and communicate with colleagues. February 4th and 5th, Effective Manager and Effective Communicator events in Ottawa. Come see us by signing up at manager-tools.com/training.
I'll just mention, I am recording this. It's actually a sort of a funny reflection they've got over my shoulder here. Over one shoulder, you have darkness because it's dark here in California at 6:25 in January. But over my right shoulder, there's a reflection of the dry bar in our dining room. But just past that dry bar is the entrance to my office. And hanging on a wall in my office is my favorite cartoon of my life. And I only learned about it about a year ago. It shows a person sitting behind a desk having a career or performance conversation with one of their directs. And he is saying, well, at this point in your career, your only possible promotion is to management, where you will stop doing the work you love and use a skill you don't have and we don't teach. And, you know, I don't remember who said it, but somebody said hundreds of years ago, in all humor, there is truth. And that is as true and as funny and sad in a way, cynical as it can possibly be. Related to that, the UK, United Kingdom, Chartered Management Institute, CMI, recently released their survey saying that 70 to 80% of the UK's managers are accidental. And that's just marketing talk, but what they define it as is that person got promoted into a management position without receiving proper management training or leadership development. So it's not a surprise that you don't know the purpose of feedback, encouraging effective future behavior. Okay? It's okay. Let yourself off the hook that you didn't know that. And the reason this podcast is free is so you can learn it. And so you don't have to keep repeating the mistakes of all the previous crappy bosses you had did to you. And again, seriously, what direct would say, I don't want to work for a manager who wouldn't encourage me, right? If you want to be an effective manager, the high road is one that embraces encouragement. And as the saying goes, I think this was actually a valedictory in our weekly Things We Think email recently, take the high road because there's less traffic up there. Now look, because feedback is ultimately encouragement, the verb is encouragement, encourage, there can be only one tone to deliver feedback, right? A positive one. No direct is going to believe you if you tell him that you're chewing him out is about encouragement. Encouragement carries with it an implied tone. Chewing somebody out is not encouragement. And of course, as we both know, it's rarely effective. Although bosses who use it do say to me periodically, yeah, but I scared them and they don't like being scared, so they won't do that again. Yeah, so good. You're like a jailer. It's all fear-based.
Well, they may not do that. They also may not do the 12 other things they might have that might have been positive because they're willing to take some risk. And now they're afraid of making mistakes. So great. Well done you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just sit there and do what you tell them. And you want the most, you want their all, right? You want 100%.
Yeah, you want all of it. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes, while telling them, please don't do anything different or unusual or try anything new because I'll get mad about it. And say nothing of the fact that if you're not doing one-on-ones and your direct doesn't trust you, all the butt chewing in the world won't make them effective. And if your team isn't effective because every individual on your team is not effective because they fear you and don't trust you, you're not going to be a manager for very long.
All right. We are at, we've been recording for 38 minutes.
Wow.
I think we're, we'll be fast.
Is it time to do part two?
Yeah, we'll have to do a part two. So I think now's a good time to stop.
And then
we'll finish up next time.
That's great.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, partner.
All right.
See you next week.
So long, folks.